all the way computer equipment also stolen from the crematory. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this Thursday edition of the Knowing the Truth radio program. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and we're going to be talking today about an extremely important topic related to the church of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That important topic that I'm referring to is the topic of worship. Worship. That's the topic on our mind here today, and specifically, worship in the church. On today's program, we're going to be talking with Bob Coughlin about his book, Worship Matters, Leading Others to Encounter the Greatness of God. It's put out by Crossway, and the book actually came out some time ago, and we had an opportunity to speak with Bob about it some time ago as well. But we wanted to do a follow-up now and delve down a little bit deeper into some of the instruction that we received from this book. This book focuses on the essentials of God-honoring worship. That's something that is critical and something that is essential for us to know at this particular time in our country, in the church, in evangelicalism. This is an extremely important subject. This book combines biblical foundation with practical application in a way that works in a real world. The author, he's been a pastor, a noted songwriter, skillfully instructs fellow pastors, musicians, and worship leaders to root corporate worship in unchangeable scriptural principles rather than in divisive cultural trends. And so this is what we're going to talk about today on the program. And to help me do that, I brought a couple of people in the studio with me. Tim Bork is with me. Tim is the music director at Mountain Ridge Bible Fellowship, the church that I pastor in Traveler's Rest. And also Joe Johnson is here as well. Joe leads the worship service over at our evening service at Shepherd's Care Assisted Living Facility. He also works in the children's ministry and our child evangelism fellowship in the public school system. And so, guys, Joe and Tim, great to have you guys in the studio with me today.
It's good to be here.
Pleasure.
Let's go ahead and bring Bob into the conversation, and then we'll get started going through his book. Bob, thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to visit with us here on Knowing the Truth radio program.
I'm honored to be a part, Kevin. Thanks for asking.
Bob, we got a chance, Tim and I, got a chance to go to Together for the Gospel this past year. What a wonderful time of fellowship together with our brothers in Christ. There are 7,000 other people worshiping God in a number of different ways through song that you provided, but also through just tons of great teaching.
Yep, there's a lot. a lot to take from.
It seems like it takes a full 2 years to digest everything in between these things, but Tabidi was on with me recently. We did a follow-up on his discussion about culture. And in some ways, you know, I just wanted to do a little bit of a follow-up with you about the idea of worship and talking through your book. In the beginning of your book, you lay out here the important things in the first section of the book, part one, about the leader. And for our listeners' sake, let me just read a couple of the headlines here in that segment. It says, my heart, what do I love? My mind, what do I believe? My hands, what do I practice? And my life, what do I model? Now, when I read that, what comes to my mind is Richard Baxter's book on the Reformed Pastor, where he talks about the oversight of ourselves first and foremost before we could be of any use in leading other people. Is that the type of thing that you had in mind in writing that section?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think when it comes to leading corporate worship, frequently our thoughts turn to what we do first. You know, the practicals, the tips, the methodologies, the liturgies, you know, those kinds of things. I've been doing this for 30 years now, and I've just realized that it's who you are that God is most concerned about. And I'm certainly concerned about what we do, but if what we do doesn't flow out of who we are, then that lacks integrity, and we fall into the same problem that the Israelites fell into. And when they were doing everything right, supposedly in their public meetings, but God took issue with the way they were living their lives.
Mm-hmm. I think the scripture has a word for that. I think it's referred to as hypocrisy.
That's right.
And so that obviously we're pretending to be something that we're really not. Being a minister of the gospel, obviously I understand quite a bit about that, both experientially from not being as moved by the text myself before I'm actually preaching it to other people. That becomes a real issue, doesn't it, for the worship leader? And by worship leader, I'm referring to those leading the music at this point. Mm-hmm. I know that there's a question about that title. But that they really need to get in touch with the message of the song, and it has to be a message that they not only agree with, but a message that has moved their heart as well. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. If I'm standing in front of a group of people and telling them you should be you know, not only should you understand this, but you should be affected by this. And I'm really, when we talk about these things, we're really referencing or responding to the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So it's more than an intellectual assent or agreement. So if I'm encouraging people to do that, but don't do that myself, yeah, I am guilty of hypocrisy. I'm not going to be able to impart any kind of faith to them, to, you know, to magnify Christ in their hearts. And they're just, so then I tend to go to other things to try and do that, and it just creates a big mess that is not glorifying to the Lord.
Hmm. We have used your Worship Matters book in our worship team at church, and including myself, the pastor there at the church. Everyone has read through the book, and then Tim, as the music director, has met with them and talked through different issues that you bring up in the book. So they're using it heavily in our congregation. If you would, before we go into allowing the guys that are here in the studio with me to ask you a few questions about some of the details you wrote in the book. In part two, you give a mission statement, if you will, of what the worship leader is to be doing. Would you just, I'll put you on the spot here and see if you can quote the mission statement that's in here. But if you could quote the mission statement and then just, you know, maybe a few comments about it, and then we'll pick one or two of those that we, you know, then I'll ask you a few questions around this subject. And as you're thinking about that and trying to remember that mission statement or pulling your book out very quickly, let me tell our listening audience, you are certainly welcome to participate in the conversation as well. You could simply call. We have a toll-free number that's good across the country. In fact, outside of the country as well. We had a call the other day from a soldier on the field in Afghanistan that called into the radio program. But let me give you that number. It's 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. And I also have email up and running. You can contact me via email at kevin@knowingthetruth.org. I'd be happy to work your question or comment into our conversation that way. Okay, Bob, back to you on that mission statement. Tell us what that mission statement is and a few thoughts about that, and then we'll go into some more in-depth questioning.
Okay. It's a faithful worship leader, magnifies the greatness of God in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit by skillfully combining God's word with music, thereby motivating the gathered church to proclaim the gospel, to cherish God's presence, and to live for God's glory. As I've been doing this for so long and found myself in a place where I was training others to do what I do, I talked to my good friend Jeff Perswell, who's a scholar and one of my best friends. I work with him in Sovereign Grace Ministries. We came up with this together. He helped me tweak it and identify exactly what is it this person is supposed to be doing. You know, there's I tried to start with what was most important, and I think which we can miss very often, and that is magnifying the greatness of God in Jesus Christ. That is really at the heart of what we're seeking to do when we are leading people to worship God. And I think of 2 Corinthians 4:6, where it says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shown in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ."
Amen.
You know, that's what we've been enabled to do as Christians. And so, you know, also think of 2 Corinthians 3:18, where it's, you know, we behold. Don't have that one quite as on the tip of my tongue. But as we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from one degree of glory to another. This comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. You know, as we behold the greatness of God as he's revealed himself in Jesus Christ, we are transformed. And I think that is one of the effects, one of the primary effects that occurs as we gather as God's people to focus on him, to hear his word preached, to fellowship together. And then, of course, it's by the power of the Spirit, the music and the word aspect. I think that's how we tend to think of it. And it certainly is an element of, often an element of biblical praise and worship, not the only element. And then there needs to be an effect. You know, we're not just gathering together to want to have another experience like this. It's meant to have an effect on our hearts. And so I tried to boil that down to, you know, these three primary areas of proclaiming the gospel, cherishing God's presence in all the ways he reveals it and will reveal it, and then ultimately to live life for the glory of God. So, you know, I remember started working on it a number of years ago, and it took me a few years to come to this, and it's kind of served me, and hopefully some others, just in terms of providing a focus for, you know, that we can measure what we're doing against the standard, perhaps, hopefully, yeah, based on God's word, you know, in terms of these are the things we're to be most concerned about.
Amen. I think it's a great statement, and I think it's very, very helpful. It very much in line with a statement that we use at the church, seeking the glory of God and the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the preaching of the word. And so we use that just as a statement, and obviously yours there then in that job description of the worship leader fits with that very well. Let me throw a few questions to the guys here in the studio or give them an opportunity to ask you a question. Let me just give you a little bit of background first on a couple things that we're going through at church, just so you have an idea of where some of our questions are coming from. One is, I've been preaching an expository message on Sunday morning through Psalm 119.
And wonderful.
So it's been a long, and the overarching theme that we've been looking at is the sufficiency of God's word, that it's sufficient for everything that we face in life. So we're going stanza by stanza, but some weeks I just do one sermon on a stanza, other weeks I go to each individual verse, and so we'll be there for a good year or so going through Psalm 119.
Wow.
So in light of that, let me ask Tim first. Tim, is there any or is there a certain area of the book or a certain question that you want to ask Bob as the worship leader at church?
Yeah, in your book, in part two, when we're talking about the task, what does a worship leader do, and you go through the job description that you just gave us, the portion on skillfully combining God's word, something that as I went through your book and with the rest of the team going through these things, that really pressed upon me that the importance of God's word throughout the entire service there on Sunday morning on the Lord's Day, that it's not just for the preaching, it's not just for call to worship time or the edification of other believers, it's for the music as well. Explain to us, why is that? Why is it so important?
Well, at first, it's great to meet you via phone. I don't think we can overestimate the power of God's word, beginning with the time he spoke everything into existence. You know, God's word gives life. God's word creates. God's word governs. God's word makes things happen. God's word is eternal. So when we gather as God's people, it's so important that we keep our words and God's words in focus. That it's not just about what we say to God. It's about what God has said to us, and primarily, you know, ultimately through Jesus, and then our response to Him and His Word to us. So you know, throughout Scripture, throughout history, God's Word has been central. It has been governing. It has been the fuel of the fire. And I think if we move from God's Word as a kind of a focus and the meat of what we're doing, we end up feeding on other things. You know, we can feed on our liturgies. We can feed on sentimental feelings. We can feed on emotions. We can feed on our responsiveness. You know, and you can be a part of some meetings where what determines whether it's a great meeting or not is, you know, how excited we got, and how you know, the things that we said, and it's just, you know, it's God looks to the one, Isaiah 66:2, God looks to the one who trembles at His word. And if we're not referencing the word, if we're not singing the word, if we're not esteeming God's word, then no one's going to tremble at it. And I think in our churches today, and it's probably always been true, you know, the tendency is to think that we can do better. We can do better than God's word. And when I use God's word, I'm thinking both the written word as it's come to us through the centuries, and Jesus, the living word. You know, the living word, the written word points to the living word. So it's not just reading words on a page. It's encountering the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, who He is, His character, His power, His presence. So for all those reasons, I think that especially when we sing, because that's an emotional event, we need to keep the Word of God front and center.
Amen. Yeah, and as Kevin, our pastor, often says, we as Christians have the most reason to sing. We have all the most reason to be joyful and to sing unto our God for what we find in His Word.
Absolutely.
Amen. Let me throw it to Joe now. Joe, is there some segment of that particular part of the book, or one of the others, if you'd like, but that stands out in your mind, or something that you'd like to ask Bob to comment on?
Yeah, it's a pleasure to talk to you, Bob. I'm just speechless as I've gone through your book here. It's just been such a rebuke to me as I've approached worship so casually before. And Brother Tim has done an excellent job of taking the model of your book and putting that into such a good practice that has been a help in seeing God fresh and genuinely in each time we've come and encountered Him. And it's been more than just an emotional experience. And just one question I had, kind of from a practical standpoint, just as an example, this week Brother Tim is actually going to be out of town. And it has entrusted me to come up with the music selections for this week. And as Pastor Kevin has already mentioned, he's been going through Psalm 119 for several months now. And to put it bluntly, we have run out of songs in our normal arsenal that deal with just the Word of God specifically. And I'm met by these portions of your book that talk so clearly about how not only is our worship supposed to be structured and organized because we come before a holy God, but it's also to be genuine and from our hearts and fresh, and we're commanded to sing a new song unto the Lord. And how is that to be accomplished in such a lengthy study? And when you've sung these older songs that are wonderful and that I love singing over and over again, but we've sung them almost, you know, I don't want to degrade them, but almost we've sung them to death almost. Where do you go from there? You know, once, you know, we're
resurrection.
Yeah, there you go. The resurrection Sunday. Yes. where do you go from there in providing a new song for God's people to worship him with?
That is a great question, Joe. Someone asked me recently, as in a seminar context, and they said, how do you keep your, similar question, how do you keep your service from becoming, you know, dead? You do the same things every Sunday, you know, you have the singing, you have the message, you have the greeting, you have the call, all that stuff. And the thought came to me, I'm sure I've heard it somewhere else, but it's the difference between containers and content. And, you know, you have this topic, you know, you're going through Psalm 119. That's the container. The content is really diverse. It's not just about God's word, is it? And I'm sure, Kevin, you're making people aware of this as you go through the psalm. It's about things like repentance. It's about things like delight. It's about things like awe of God. It's about things like trust, humility, sorrow for sin, hatred of evil. So I could take any one of those topics and pick a group of songs around it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, delighting in God's word leads to delighting in God. So anything that, you know, communicates delighting in God, I could focus on. And what I'd be listening for in the messages would be, you know, points that the pastor's making that I could draw upon, you know, that I could expand. Because what happens a lot of times in messages, you know, a pastor makes three, four points, sometimes two, sometimes ten. And, you know.
Mostly ten.
Yeah, okay. I wasn't sure what kind of preacher you were. You know, and people go away, they just don't remember them all. So what I'll do sometimes is that following Sunday is I'll mention one of the points that was made in the previous Sunday, especially when we're going through a series, and just say, hey, you know, last week, you know, like what passage did you preach upon last week?
The passage about the psalmist saying that he held his soul in his hand, therefore I trust upon thy word, or yet I trust upon thy word. And the theme of it was risking everything while resting upon the word of God.
Okay, so you could go with, you know, trust in God, trust in his promises, trust in his faithfulness. You could sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Doesn't reference God's word, but it does speak of the theme that Kevin was preaching on the week before.
Excellent.
So that's how I think of the songs, and not get so tied to, it has to have the word in it. I have to, you know, I'm bringing out, you know, the B-I-B-L-E songs, and, you know, it's got to be, you know. It's rich. God's word is so rich. And so when we think about it, of his word as, you know, God's promises, God's word in Jesus, the warnings, the encouragement, the sweetness, you know, then our ideas for, you know, what we can do start to expand.
Mm-hmm. Excellent answer there, Bob. I wanted to ask you one more question before we have to take a quick commercial break, and then I'll tell folks about how they can get a copy of this book. And I do have books to give away today, by the way, to our listening audience. But I wanted to ask you, one of the things that we're doing as workers here together in the church, leading into worship, is I come up with, obviously, what the sermon is going to be and then what the general theme of the music should be around, and I let these guys know as soon as I can, which sometimes isn't until Friday of that week or something, at least what the theme is going to be. And then sometimes I'll even pick a closing hymn or something that I think I suggest a closing hymn. Besides that type of interaction between me and the worship team, is there another level that can be taken to?
Yeah, we have done this different ways over the years. We just started, reinstituted, I guess, a meeting where we talk about, like, the next 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll do this once a month. And we'll look at the messages. We'll read the passages, and we'll talk about things like, is there something unique we could do that Sunday to reference the message? And again, we'll work from week to week. It could be the message that morning. It could be the message from the week before. So we'll think about things like testimonies. So if you, Kevin, get into the section where you're talking about how, before I was afflicted,
I went astray.
Yes. Just talk about going through affliction.
Right.
And just how God's word has become more precious as a result of that. Well, if you have someone in your church that could give that testimony, what a powerful moment that can be in a Sunday meeting if someone gets up and just shares, hey, this, it's written out in advance, you've looked at it,
Yeah.
They're not just rambling, but there's a reinforcement of, this is not just being preached, this is being lived out.
Amen.
By the people in our congregation. So we'll look for places where those might take place. Look for places where we might have, it might be an opportunity to read scripture together. That's not something we do every Sunday,
mm-hmm.
But we're doing it this coming Sunday. We're in 1 Peter right now, and we're going to be reading different passages that accentuate the gospel, that speak of the gospel. And then you might think of a song that could be done that kind of, maybe a song even that you wouldn't do as a congregation. Some churches don't do special songs. They think it's too performance-oriented. But when it ties into the theme well, and when it's done by, a humble vocalist, someone who's not drawing attention to themselves,
mm-hmm.
It can be very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have a 6-week kind of planning process where we think, well, what kind of things could we do maybe on this Sunday? And so that'll just give us, a place to start when thinking about what's coming up. And I think it also enables you to think of some more creative things than you would, say, Friday night before the Sunday's coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. Excellent. Thanks, Bob, for sharing about that and really expanding upon what I asked there. I really appreciate that. We're going to take a very quick commercial break, and when we come back from the break, we'll continue to go through some of the questions that we have surrounding this book. The book I'm talking about is the book Worship Matters, Leading Others to Encounter the Greatness of God. It's written by Bob Coughlin. Also, the foreword in here is by Paul, is it Baloche? Is that how you say it?
Balash,
okay. And so that's the foreword. I do have books to give away today, courtesy of Cross Way, www.crossway.org. If you call in with your question or your comment for Bob today, we'll be happy to send a book your way. We'll be back in just a minute. I'll tell you how.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Looking for a great way to learn more of God's Word? Do you wonder what the Bible says about specific life issues? Divine Direction is an audio CD with over 300 Bible verses arranged by subject. It was developed to help people find biblical solutions for everyday issues like anger, depression, worry, and more. Divine Direction gives people hope as they learn that God's Word has solutions for all of life's problems. The biblical model for true change is also explained in order to help us have genuine and lasting victory over sinful habits. Divine Direction also includes a section that explains the salvation message and is an excellent tool for witnessing to unsaved loved ones. Let's face it, people are busy. Divine Direction is the perfect way for those who are on the go to learn God's Word and be encouraged with the message of hope. It's available on CD and also as a download for your iPod or computer. To order Divine Direction, simply go to power-ministries.com. That's power-ministries.com.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza. They'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Words carry immeasurable significance. What would homes, churches, schools, and even the public square be like if we used words with Christian intentionality and eloquence? Crossway has made available The Power of Words and the Wonder of God, which includes essays by John Piper, Paul Tripp, and others, all taken from the messages of the 2008 Desiring God National Conference. The book challenges readers to harness their tongues and appropriately command their silences for the glory of God and the ministry of the gospel.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're talking about worship and specifically worship in the church. And we're doing so around a discussion about a book called Worship Matters, Leading Others to Encounter the Greatness of God, written by Bob Coughlin. Bob, in his title that I never gave in the beginning, and I should have, Bob is the Director of Worship Development for Sovereign Grace Ministries. And just did an excellent job of putting this book together, and it's been a real help not only in our church, but I know with many other worship leaders that I come in contact with as well, and many other pastors. I wanted to make sure that you knew, as our listening audience, that you can participate in the discussion today. The number to do so is, you can simply call, it's a toll-free number, 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. It's good locally here, it's good across the country, and it's good even beyond. And so you're certainly welcome to call in with your question or your comment. Also, I do have email up and running. Email is kevin@knowingthetruth.org. And I just started Twitter up here as well, and the account on Twitter is Knowing the Truth. And so if you have a question or a comment, you want to send it any of those three ways, via the phone, via email, via Twitter, be happy to then get your mailing address and send you a copy of this book. It's very, very helpful. If you're involved at all in the worship aspect of the church, then this would certainly be something that would be helpful to you. Very helpful it's been to us, and I'm sure it would be a real blessing to you as well. Let me also say just a little bit about some upcoming broadcasts, just so you can be aware of them. We're going to be talking next week on next Thursday about church planting, and in fact, we're going to be talking about that subject again around another book. It's called Church Planting is for Wimps. There's a title that'll grab your attention. And so we'll be talking with Mike McKinley about that subject. And then later in the month, on May 25th, I'll be speaking with Tullian Trevigian. And Tullian is the grandson of Billy Graham. And he's also now the new pastor there at Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church. And by the way, Coral Ridge is putting out a national film or a national documentary is going to be on TV stations across the country this Sunday night. It deals with the subject of socialism. And so if you're interested in that, it's going to air part of the broadcast will air this Sunday night. And then the week after that, the second half of it will air. And I've been in contact with some of the folks there at Coral Ridge, and they're going to have somebody on the broadcast with me on Wednesday of next week. So one of the episodes will have already aired this Sunday night, and we'll still be waiting for the next one to air. And right in between those two, we'll be speaking with one of the producers there of that socialism documentary that will air those two Sundays. We'll speak with them on Wednesday of next week. So just a couple of program notes. By the way, all of that information is located out on the website at www.knowingthetruth.org. That's www.knowingthetruth.org. And also, all of the archives of all of the broadcasts that we do are available out there as well, and they're absolutely free. so avail yourself of them. Before we go back to our conversation, let's go to the phone lines. We got Jim on line one. Jim, welcome to into the Knowing the Truth radio program today.
Well, thank you. It's a great program today, Kevin, and I wanted to ask you a couple of questions. First, the name of the book again, please.
The name of the book is called Worship Matters, and it's by Bob Coughlin, and I'll be happy if you send me an email with your mailing address, Jim, to send you a copy.
Oh, super. That is awesome, Kevin. I appreciate the show today. And also, the comment I wanted to make is, as far as worship is, I'm a worship leader as well, and one of the things that I try to have people remember is when they're singing songs to the Lord, picture themselves in front of God, and He's expecting you to present a gift. Mm-hmm. And what would you give the Almighty? Well, there's nothing that you can give Him except for your adoration, your heart of worship. And so that kind of helps us with when we go to the Lord in worship is, what gift are you going to bring me? Well, Lord, all I can bring you is my love and my respect and my adorning you. So anyway, great program today, guys. Keep it up.
Well, thank you, Jim, for your comments. Send that email to kevin@knowingthetruth.org, and with include your mailing address, we'll get the book right out to you, courtesy of Crossway Publishing. Thank you very much. Would you like to respond to that a little bit, Bob? Jim's comment there about the audience of one idea, that we're standing before the Almighty and offering up the sacrifice of praise unto Him.
Yeah, I think it's a good question to ask. It's a good thing to understand. When we come together, we're not simply coming together for us. We're coming together in the presence of God. Certainly God's present with us as believers all the time, but there is a sense, a different sense in which He's present. We are the temple of God gathered together. And I think of that verse in 1 Peter 2, where it says, Peter says, as you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And it's that last phrase, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, that I think is so important, maybe just to nuance what was just said. Our adoration has imperfections in it. You know, it can be self-motivated, self-centered. It can be self-directed. It can be impure. But our spiritual sacrifices have been made acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is the true worship leader. And my singing and my heart's affections, as imperfect as they may be, are perfected through the one offering of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's just so reassuring. It gives us so much confidence as we gather together to worship the Lord.
You know, we were talking about the diversity of thoughts there in Psalm 109. Just 2 weeks ago, I preached on the passage of this is Psalm 119, verse 108. Except I beseech thee the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgment. So I quoted from that verse during the sermon that you just quoted just now and spoke about as being a royal priesthood and offering up praises to our God. But by Jesus Christ is the important aspect there, by Jesus Christ. Let me toss it back to Tim. Tim, did you have a follow-up question or a question about another aspect of the book that you wanted to ask Bob today?
Yeah, this was actually in the last part of the book entitled Right Relationships, where you went through and dealt with how the leader would engage with the church and the team and the pastor.
Is this where you want to ask me questions about your problems with Kevin?
That's exactly right.
Let's just get it all out right here.
Yeah. Kevin had actually mentioned earlier in the program about how he could better serve us with giving us topics or whatever throughout the week of the sermons to come. Well, my question is, how can I better serve as the leader? How can I better serve him and the rest of the team and the church? How does that fit in?
That's a great question. There are probably a number of different ways we can do that. I mean, the first is most obvious, and that is to truly love the people you're serving. Mm. to truly love your pastor, to truly love the church, not see them as foes, enemies, hindrances to what, you know, God's going to do through you. You're really a team, and apart from Jesus, we wouldn't be doing anything. Mm-hmm. So that humbles us and enables us to do what we do in an effort to serve them. I think research is one of the ways that we can serve the pastor, just by knowing what's out there. You know, if I know more songs perhaps that are being written, or even hymns that he might not be familiar with, and he's thinking, oh, what song could I do after the message? Well, how about this? We can really serve them in that way, because I don't expect a pastor is going to be listening to, you know, all the worship songs are being written today. That's about nigh impossible to do anyway. But if we can keep abreast of those things, I think that can really serve. I think another thing that really helps is by being honest about, you know, I think this would work better than this. I think this might be, you know, a better song to do. But then also to gladly submit. Mm. And I think that's one thing that musicians, worship leaders have a hard time doing, because mm-hmm. especially when we put a lot of time into it and thought into it, we submit the songs. We don't really submit the songs. We're kind of informing the pastor. This is what the Lord wants of us.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. You want.
Yeah, at any point, right? Yeah. I think the discussion may continue off the air today, but we're just going to take this up till 2 o'clock. Let me mention another comment here. First of all, I got one via email here from Andre right here in Greenville, and just talks about how much they love Sovereign Grace Ministries, and also how much they would appreciate a copy of this book in order to help them. So, Andre, I just want to let you know, you're in. I'll go ahead and you didn't include your mailing address, though. Send me your mailing address, and I'll be happy to send a copy of this book out to you, courtesy of Crossway Publishing.
That's great.
Let's go to Joe now. Joe, you have a follow-up question or play off of something that Tim said there, or did you just want to underline that idea that you guys have got the song that we need to sing this week?
Well, that definitely needs underlining, but just going along with the thought there of the Lord not only guiding in the song selection, but as I was reading your book, I cringed at the one title of the chapter, What Kind of Music, because I am very opinionated on that matter. But I found it to be the most refreshing chapter that you wrote, and one part in particular, the under Music Helps Us Reflect the Glory and Activity of the Triune God. This little section that you wrote just blew me away, especially the part that you wrote about the Holy Spirit being in our midst, actually inspiring our songs. And you spoke earlier just to the fact that it's Christ that makes our praise acceptable. But I had never thought before about this aspect, that it's the Holy Spirit of Christ that makes our praise possible to the Father. And it's just a glorious, glorious thing. I wish you'd written a couple more chapters just on that one point, but your book, if you'd expounded it all to the length that I would love, it would be too big for me to have carried into the studio today.
Well, Joe, that book was at least a third as long when I first wrote it, a third longer than it is. But I had a great editor, Thomas Womack, and he's really responsible for the structure of the book. He took a lot of stuff that I'd done and suggested a way of putting it together, which I am indebted to him for, because I think it just made things a lot clearer. Yeah, I think there is that, if I can just comment on that, you have some churches that overemphasize the activity and presence of God through His Spirit, and those would be the wildly charismatic churches. And then you have churches that just underemphasize it. You know, it's kind of like, well, we got the Word, we got the preacher, we got the people, we're good to go. And there, what's one of the things I tried to do in the book was to make it, readable and appealing and helpful, I guess, to a church, no matter where your theological stance is on the gifts, certain gifts of the Spirit, is to say, you know what, if you're a Christian, you need the Holy Spirit to enable you to worship God. And that is a wonderfully comforting truth. It relieves us of so much the stress and the pressure and the sense that we have to make it happen. No, it's Ephesians 2:18, for through him, through Christ, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. It's Philippians 3, we are those who worship by the Spirit of God. And so I'm glad that's helpful. Yeah, that's very encouraging.
Yes. And that also takes away some of the load on another passage section that you wrote here about the keeping things in balance, maintaining the healthy tension between God being right here among us and being transcendent. As I read that it helped to go back to the previous section that you wrote about God enabling us to do that, because in my own life, just living and understanding who God is, let alone expressing that in worship, I can't keep all of his character and the great God that he is in balance. I always want to just look at one side of him or the other, and so it is a great comfort to know that the Spirit, not only he helps us in our needs in every aspect, whether it be worship or prayer.
Absolutely.
I'm struck by the idea of, just how similar some of the themes that we're talking about related to the music are so similar to the thoughts that we have about our preaching and praying as well.
Yeah.
For instance, with praying, the Lord taught us how to pray, our God, which our Father, which art in heaven. Well, there's that what Joe was just talking about, the nearness and the dearness, where it says our Father, but yet the majesty of him in heaven. And so we keep those two thoughts in our mind when we approach God in prayer, and here we see those same two thoughts being spoken about revolving around the idea of our music. And so I begin to see how that all of this is worshiping and praising God, our preaching, our praying, our singing of praise unto God, all of these different areas have these same guardrails that are there, these same thoughts that keep us in line as we conduct ourselves in the worship of God in our services.
That's very true, Kevin. I think it's... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just think it's one of the things that's suffered as a result of the church taking on a kind of... with the music, a concert mindset, rock concert mindset,
yeah.
Where this is just a different thing. This is a different animal than the rest of the meeting.
Mm.
We've lost that pastoral character and the word-centered character of our songs, which, Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. It's all of one piece. And that's one of the burdens I had as I wrote the book, that just we would see more the homogeneity of the meeting rather than breaking it into these separate chunks.
Homogeneity. I think that's the first time we've used that on Knowing the Truth, and I thank you for it. Thank you for bringing that up. Bob, we have really enjoyed a lot of the things you're involved in. We followed up on your YouTube presentation. There might have been on Vimeo as well, I'm not sure. But the counseling and the worship of God, the little segment you did with David Powelson, that was very helpful to us. It's not that we're stalking you or anything, but you're being watched, Bob. Let me just put that. I got a couple of questions for you, though. Have you had a chance to read Doug O'Donnell's book, God's Lyrics?
No, and I'm wondering if I have it.
It just came out not long ago, P&R Books. He was on with me earlier this week, but basically he looks at the songs in the Old Testament. And then says,
no, I've just heard about it.
Okay. I was just going to get your comments on that. It was very interesting. Secondly, we understand from reading your blog, and let me make sure folks are aware of this, Bob blogs out at worshipmatters.com. That's www.worshipmatters.com. That's all one word, plural. And so if you go out there, you can continue with the reading of articles and discussions, much like we're having here today on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. But, Bob, we noticed out there that you actually are giving some thought about writing another book, and we wanted to leave enough time here in the waning minutes of the program to get you to tell us a little bit about the new book that you're putting together.
You are very kind to bring that up. Yeah, after I decided I was never going to write another book again, Justin Taylor from Crossway called and said, "Hey, your book's doing good. We're wondering if you'd want to," which is a surprise to me. But he said, "Wonder if you want to do another one." And I said, "Well, as a matter of fact, I have had a little bit of a leaning towards that, and this one is going to be a smaller book, maybe half the size of Worship Matters. It's going to be four people in the congregation, and surprise, surprise, it's going to address the topic of worship. What I want to do is equip any believer to walk into their Sunday meeting ready to contribute in a way that exalts Christ and enables them to genuinely engage with God during that time, regardless of how effective the leadership really is. You know, in Worship Matters, I'm addressing leaders, although non-leaders have benefited from it, I've heard as well. But it's really to those who are responsible for leading the corporate praise, corporate gatherings.
Right.
In this, I want to speak to the individual believer. And the genesis of it, I guess, came in a thought had years ago. A worshiper, or true worshipers, Jesus talks about true worshipers in John 4. That may be the name of the book, True Worshipers. True worshipers worship God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
They've been saved out of worshiping idols, and now they worship God. They delight in him. They delight in the glory of Jesus Christ. They love to obey him. They love to follow him. They love to be more like him. And a lot of the conversations about worship can lead someone to believe that, you know, it's all about getting what you want. It's about your church being the right kind of church, singing the right kinds of songs that you like. And I think those miss the point entirely. I want to be able to go into a church meeting that is very different from mine. And if they're preaching the gospel, if they're using the word of God, I want to be able to give glory to Jesus Christ there.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can't, then I think my understanding of what it means to be a true worshiper is off.
Mm.
So it's, hopefully it's going to be a book that pastors, worship leaders, song leaders can give to people in their congregation. It's going to be easy to study with, you know, go through with the group. And so I'm pretty excited about it.
That's great. It reminds me a little bit of kind of like a Tabidi's book where he's got What is a Healthy Church Member?
Yeah.
You know, looking at it from the aspect of the person in the pew, you know, what's required of you. And so that sounds excellent. I think that'll be a great follow-up to your book. Next time we get a chance to get you on, I would really like to talk with you about the section that you wrote in Worldliness, Resisting the Seduction of a Fallen World, by C.J. Mahaney, and we didn't want to muddy the waters by going into that discussion today, but we'd love to get you on again just to address your section, which for our listeners' sake is entitled God, My Heart, and Music, which we just thought was just a wonderful way, a little bit more from the church member perspective, or just the individual perspective, I should say that. Is that correct?
Yes. That would be an honor to... And great fun to
Good.
Be able to talk about that.
We're working out through Crossway again and get you back. But, Bob, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us on the program today. It's been very instructive, very helpful. Thanks for all the work that you're doing out on Worship Matters, for writing this book, and for taking the time out to visit with us today.
Yeah. Thank
it's been
you.
A real joy, Kevin, Joe, Tim. Thank you as well.
It's been my pleasure.
Yeah, it's been great.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Bob. We appreciate it.
Yep.
That was Bob Coughlin, the Director of Worship Development for Sovereign Grace Ministries. He blogs out at www.worshipmatters.com. That's www.worshipmatters.com. The book that we're talking about today is a book entitled Worship Matters, Leading Others to Encounter the Greatness of God. If you want to find out more about it, and I believe that there's a sample chapter out on the website as well, but you can go out to www.crossway.org. That's www.crossway.org. And when you go out there, just key in the words Worship Matters in their search engine, and it'll take you right to this page. Remember, I told you already about some of the upcoming broadcasts coming up next week. We'll be talking about church planting around the subject of a book that's called Church Planting is for Wimps. And then also, remember, this Sunday night is the first installment of a program about socialism. It's a documentary put out by Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Go to church this Sunday. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.
Fox News Radio. Unleashed.